and having APHA accepting our session. Thank you very much for that. As you heard, my day job is being a professor, and my not day job is just leading a World Federation. I don't know when I do it, but it's not my day job. I would like to present you today a little bit about the World Federation, what our conceptions about global public health are, what we are doing at the World Federation, and why and how we created the Global Oral Public Health Working Group. First of all, the World Federation is rather old. It was created already in 67 during the 7th World Health Assembly in Geneva, where the office now moved again from Washington, where it was from its beginning, where the office moved from 2008. We have the office in Geneva again. We are the umbrella organization of all multidisciplinary national public health associations and affiliated other associations, such as associations of schools of public health. We have an official relation status with WHO, so that means we have a design technical officer and have regular meetings with WHO, and we also have a consultation status with ECOSOC, United Nations Economic and Social Council. Our membership until now is more concentrated in the Euro and Afro region of WHO, but we are definitely working on increasing our memberships in EMRO, especially PAO and CIRO. Our mission is to promote and protect global public health by, first of all, helping public health associations to be established, and then by facilitating and supporting the exchange of information, knowledge, and skills, and by undertaking advocacy for public health policies, programs, and practices at a supraterritorial level. We all know that we are in a changing environment, and I think especially public health people that we are know it, and the public health global public health and Trudeau's global setting is challenged by the increasing number of partners in global public health, which all have dispersed legitimacy. Just as an example, we have a bit more than 60,000 NGOs only dealing with AIDS worldwide. That was in 2007. I think if we would count them today, there will be some more. We have 242 multilateral funds, 24 development banks, different UN organizations, and so forth and so forth. Thousands of NGOs. A lot of them have their headquarters in Geneva, so some of them, the larger ones, we know and meet with them. We have the reconfiguration of power and health governance. There are self-nominated powers such as G8. They are not democratically elected, but they are a power. Some very important NGOs are more powerful than states, and we also live this very geopolitical transition from parts of the world to other parts of the world. And we do see increasing interdependency in norm setting. So, as an example, intellectual property rights are a more lot important in health than they were before. What also changes in the environment around global health is that we have not only seen this expansion of actors and activities, but also the inequality of access around the world has increased. We have the globalization of lifestyles. We know that the health sector is now one of the biggest industries worldwide, and that is probably one of the important points for us. We also know on the other side that health is very crucial to political stability, and we know that there is a need for coherence and coordination. Our task at the World Federation is we get the information from the territorial in yellow and the inter- or transterritorial dimensions, but we see that our action has to be at the supraterritorial level, at the same level as the global markets, or the global environment change. Our members, in a recent result, recent survey results, explained that they want us to do health policy development mainly, and this on a global level, followed by other topics. So we are also linked to what the WHO calls its reform. And part of the reform process is that there should be a way how WHO can integrate the new actors in the field of public health into the established intergovernmental system of the UN, like WHO is an UN organization. And World Federation advocates for the engagement with non-health actors, that WHO is also now getting clearly together with the UN organizations that are non-health actors but as important for public health as WHO. And we always underline that we want the WHO to be strong because it's still the only global health actor with formal legal legitimacy. That's a little thing you will see at the entrance of WHO now, the reform story. And in this context, the World Federation has a collaboration plan every 3 years with WHO. And one of our tasks for the next 3 years to come to see how global public health in the new global landscape could be defined and could be done. We want to have a side event at the next World Health Assembly and then present this work in our next World Congress, which will be held in Kolkata, February 2015. We help our organizations to liaise. For example, we have an Asian regional liaison office. We created an African Federation of Public Health Associations on the Addis meeting. And here you have the African Public Health Association regional group. And in joining forces, we thought also that there is a need for creating a global oral public health working group. Why? Because perhaps not here at APHA, really not, but some other and a lot of places in the world, oral health is underestimated in its role for public health. And on the other side, public health people have not visualized oral health in its importance for public health. Second, there are probably enormous achievements for the health of people possible by using relatively little resources if the two sectors would interact more than they do in a lot of parts of the world. And we want the oral health people join up, team up, and work transactional. We know it is always difficult, this teamwork. It always leads to struggles and complaints. But that is one of the most important things in our working group. We see that the global oral public health working group has opportunities at the global level because we have an increased political awareness. The WHO is talking about the fragmentation of health, or let's say the fragmentation of healthcare systems and the strengthening of health system as one of their important points. And as you know, in the NCD summit in New York, the attention was brought to the NCDs, where also oral health is central and has been included in the NCDs. So we have a political awareness that we hadn't had before. And I think, very importantly for oral health, we have the population's epidemiological shift. The first ever are we to have four generations living in one country together. And I think that oral health, also as the elderly, will be an important part of future work. Perhaps not for this lady, because she had other social determinants to help her. And she died at the brilliant age of 102 years, as you may know, Queen Mum. But I think for a lot of other people, oral health in the elderly will become important. So the Global Oral Public Health Working Group was accepted as a working group by the Governing Council of the World Federation to be established. And we had the three, let's say, founding members, Ken Eaton, Ramon Beatty, and Myron here. We want to be ready with all the work by 2015 at the World Congress in Calcutta. We know that we will have possibilities of twinning with the European Association of Public Oral public health and other groups in other places of the world, and we are on our way to do so. We also went to see the FDI, the World Dental Federation, and they accepted to collaborate on several projects. Here are the leading men. As Myron said, we have a chair, Raman Bedi, and two co-chairs, Myron and Ken Eating, and down are the ladies who do the work. And Marta is the one who's really leading it. Marta is the executive coordinator. She's just back from maternity leave, and without her, nothing would happen in the group. We are constituted now with an executive group with a fair representation from all WHO regions worldwide. The executive group members lead the main activities of our working group and participate in bi-monthly telephone conferences. In addition, we have a reference group, and the reference group, again, has a worldwide distribution of all WHO regions, and these members provide information on local, international, oral health-related initiatives to our group, and they disseminate the work of the working group locally and participate in 6 monthly telephone conferences. Our projects, one of the first projects is mapping oral health capacity, difficult thing. The second one would be increasing oral public health visibility, and the third one is already done. We have a declaration for on the access to oral health for children. First thing, mapping oral health capacity. Our aim was, and there you see already our problems with teaming up, we will determine the dental public health workforce worldwide, because coming to the oral health capacity is far more difficult. And so you see we are already with the silos and the difficult things around oral health. We have set up an online survey. It is now almost finished. We have a pilot study and a validation of the survey. Data collection will go in all WHO regions, then with interviewing the main stakeholders of both oral and public health. And we hope to present the data, no, we will present the data again in Calcutta, February 2015. For the visibility of our working group, yes, you see here we're trying to go to international conferences. The World Federation initiated the first Arab World Conference of Public Health in Dubai earlier this year, and you see our oral session at this Dubai conference, but also the fact that we have the possibility to present here at APHA today is part of putting us more visible. And then I talked about the Child Human Rights Declaration on Access to Oral Health for Children, a work that has been led, and the declaration has been accepted by our General Assembly. So you can access this on our website. Our website is very simply World Federation WFPHA.org. We ask for oral health education, including oral hygiene instructions, dietary advice, and access to affordable toothbrush, toothpaste containing fluoride as soon as the first primary tooth erupts, to preventive intervention, early stage, and also environments that eliminate advertising unhealthy foods to children, very much in line with what the four last World Health Assembly has done with advertisement for unhealthy and sugar calorie-rich food to children. The next steps will be launching the oral health capacity survey and again continue to work on our oral health visibility and integrate oral and public health. This will be an ongoing, very difficult agenda. I hope we will succeed to get the different people together and hope that this will be a success, and also get active participation in regional and worldwide meetings as we do today. I think it's difficult not to have these nice, brilliant new ideas, but it's, as John Maynard Keynes said, more difficult in escaping the old ones, which ramify into every corner of our mind, and that's where I feel we are when we try to puddle together. Thank you very much, with a little view on the Lake of Geneva, for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Bettina. That was very comprehensive and very thought-provoking. There's more to this than it sounds, because when you have an international public health group and they've never done anything on oral health and they do it for the first time and they recognize it, given all the problems, public health problems you have in the world, whether you're talking infant mortality, nutrition, or just simply not having access to sanitation and clean water, to get a group like that to include oral health, which is a disease that affects almost everyone, but most people don't differentiate that between AIDS, and which affects a certain number of people, but dental disease affects everyone. From the public health perspective, it makes it a much higher priority. So thank you for all you've done for the movement. Our next speaker is Bruce Donoff, Dr. Bruce Donoff. He's dean of the School of Dental Medicine at Harvard. He received his dental degree from the Harvard Dental School and his medical degree from Harvard Medical School. He was chair of the Department of Maxillofacial Surgery at Mass General Hospital for many years. Incidentally, just looking, you started a year after me, Bruce, at Harvard. I started in 66. He started in 67 as an intern at Mass General Hospital. He's kind of unique as a dean because even though he's an oral surgeon, he has a great interest in public health, as was his mentor, Dr. Walter Guralnick, who was very global in terms of looking at oral health. And Bruce has followed in his footsteps and even gone a couple of steps further. Very pleased to introduce Bruce Donoff, Dean of the School of Harvard.
Thank you, Myron. I'm really very pleased to be here today. So how did I become a public health oral surgeon? There are certain things that are like chalk on a blackboard to me. And one of them is that oral health is always the stepchild, okay? Having paid dues both to dental and medical associations my entire professional career, it's still astounding to me how people in medicine or even in public health forget about the mouth. Even they forget about it at Harvard Medical School sometimes, in any case. So that's where we started. And on June 14th, 2010, as Harvard was launching their Global Health Initiative, I began to look through their paperwork and websites, and lo and behold, not a single word about oral health. And so what we did was we had a retreat, and we invited Julio Frank, the Dean of the School of Public Health, Sue Goldie, who headed the Harvard Global Health Initiative, and we had a lot of faculty and some students, and we had an education, a clinical, and a service component. And we came up with a strategic plan to try and deal with this. And some of what I'll tell you about is some of the successes we've had. But I will tell you the main success has come from creating an Office of Global and Community Health, finding the right person to run it, who's Jane Barrow, sitting in the back of the room, who's assistant dean for this area, and putting some resources into it. And so what I'd like to do is tell you some of the things that we've done. It's amazing to see the connections, because I never expected to see Ramon Betty's name come up here, and I'll tell you the connection. So